College in Meadville, Pennsylvania, this is Trigger Ethics, a seven-part radio mini-series. Previously on Trigger Ethics.
Do you have factory F720?
Yes.
That's where we'll hit.
Hey, what's all that racket down there?
I've got a new job for you. I need all this machinery moved.
You, guard, if you answer me now, you'll get a quick death. All I need to know is where the filter presses are.
Where are you, Dreely?
Heavier than I thought. Yes, there we go.
Here we go indeed. Though there's a slight change in destination, brother.
And now, episode 5, Plastic Silverware.
Ah, you've finally awoken, I see.
What is this? Untie me immediately!
Tisk, tisk, tisk. You are just as anxious and impatient as your corporate counterparts. What is this world coming to?
Let me go, you beast.
Beast? You call me a beast? Look at you! Dressed in rags. You are so filthy, I need to wear gloves just to torture you. And you call me a beast? You'll have to forgive me. My temper gets the better of me every now and then.
You can hit me all you want, but you will learn nothing.
You know, I never met my grandfather. He was a plumber. His tools are all I have to know him by. Pity, really. He used these things to stop leaks. I think tonight, I'll try and cause one with them. Tell me, my friend, do you know a Leon Westcott?
No. I've never heard of him.
That is most odd, for having worked in a pinnacle factory for so many years, Mr. Pratchett, he was an executive of the company, you know.
How do you know my name?
The wallet is a treasure trove of information, Mr. Pratchett. You really should take better care with yours. And even if you hadn't heard his name at work, you certainly would have seen his picture on the television.
Oh, no.
Or don't you watch television, Mr. Pratchett?
Oh, no. I don't watch it. I don't even have one.
Now, where could you possibly live where there is no television, Mr. Pratchett? They come built into any apartment made in the last 10 years. It must be a rather unconventional place. My, this sledge has a nice weight to it. Oh, Mr. Pratchett, you look most uncomfortable. Why don't we take your shoes off so you can relax a bit? There we are. Now, Mr. Pratchett, I'm beginning to grow a mite bit tired of this one-sided conversation. Let's be frank with each other, hmm? I know you're from the underground church. All I need from you is its location. No? Nothing to say. It's all right, Mr. Pratchett. I don't blame you. I blame your left foot. Quite a nice weight to it, indeed. Wouldn't you say, Mr. Pratchett? Oh, my. Look at that. Your feet are most dissimilar. You're asymmetrical, Mr. Pratchett, and I must say I find it rather disturbing. Not to worry, I'll fix that for you. Oh dear, it looks like I put a little too much elbow grease in that one. Your right foot is a bit flatter than the left. No worry!
No, stop. Stop. I'll speak.
I'm all ears, Mr. Pratchett.
The church is in dump 38. The old park.
How clever. How very clever. Well, Mr. Pratchett, since you have been so honest with me, I'll return the favor. I cannot let you live. But I won't kill you, not yet. You see, I find torture very amusing. Bit of a hobby, you could say. But I think I'm done playing plumber for the night. You know, as a child, I hadn't planned on my current vocation. I always wanted to be a dentist. Open wide, Mr. Pratchett.
Give it power and set the drill press at 5.5 inches.
I've called my contacts in North Africa. They're willing to bring supplies at a reasonable rate. I've done my part.
Brother Westhoff, Brother Brass, come with me. Father Rosewood would like a word with you.
Actions are inexcusable. The plan did not work nearly as well as we had hoped. They risk too much at our expense. We can't afford to keep such company.
What are you whining about now, Joseph?
Where do I start? I think with you, Brass, since you spoke first. Not only did you kill indiscriminately, you gunned down an unarmed man.
He did have a fire axe.
He dropped it and attempted to surrender.
He called me a scallywag. A scallywag. What is a scallywag?
The word scallywag does not justify slaughter. And you, Leon, your blind hunger for revenge risked all of our lives.
You're just angry because you got shot.
No, I'm angry because Pratchett's gone.
I thought you wanted to bring the company down. Dreely is an executive.
Despite what you risked, you did not manage to remove him.
The loss of Pratchett is a tragedy. Yet all our brothers and sisters would let their blood pour like water for the cause to usher in the new age. His sacrifice, however, and Brother Westcott's work were not in vain. We have now the power in our hands to create filters for all. And it is Brother Brass who has procured what we need to make filters. We are thankful. This being said, Brother Westcott, your presence has only become more controversial. If you stay and continue to act as you have, I foresee that the only result will be strife within the church. I will not force out any of our brothers, but I beseech you to consider this matter carefully.
I don't want to cause a rift in the church, since you are one of the few things that stand in the way of Pinnacle.
Finally, I thought we'd never leave.
Farewell, brothers. May your steps never falter on the path of righteousness.
Decker!
Dreely, this had better be important.
You really need to take 30 seconds out of your busy day to watch the news. The church pulled a raid on Factory F-720. Westcott was there, got out by the skin of my teeth.
Well, I'm so glad you're safe, Dreely.
Cut the crap, Decker. Hale isn't doing her job. I suggest we get some more men on it. I've already increased Westcott's priority level in the brigade. I think we might want to put a price on his head and get bounty hunters in on this.
Westcott has already cost us enough money. We don't need to be wasting any more. Hale will get the job done. You can leave now, Dreely. Our discussion is over.
Let's see what she's up to.
Let me assure you, Mr. Forsythe, the takeover, though it has had its bumps, is on schedule. Westcott will die, but he and the church will give Pinnacle enough trouble beforehand. Bear Hopkins will have no trouble buying out Pinnacle after the recent calamities. The church. They won't be a problem. I'll arrange their downfall when we no longer need them.
That too timing.
One moment, Mr. Forsythe. Something's come up on my computer.
Attention, security. Mr. Dreely is suspected of embezzlement. Please bring him to my office for questioning immediately.
Officer Jenkins, Decker is attempting a coup. Have all your undercover men within the security force cover my escape. Call in the brigade's main force. I'll grab some evidence from my apartment and meet the captain at brigade headquarters.
If you'll come with us, Mr. Dreely.
Sure. Let me just grab my pen.
There he is. Get him.
Jenkins, open fire.
Brother Alder, we have a potential new recruit.
Really? You don't seem like someone who sympathizes with the church.
Just because the Lord has blessed me with a considerable amount of material wealth does not mean that I don't have my share of goodness. Were I with your enemies, I'd hardly bother with all this secrecy. The brigade has higher numbers and is better equipped. If Pinnacle knew where you were, they'd slaughter you, not infiltrate you.
Then, naturally, you would have no problem with submitting to a search.
Naturally not.
Search her.
She's clean.
So explain to me why you wish to join our church. Why now?
I have always given, though very subtly, considering our society, to the poor. However, with your recent success and the recent atrocities of Pinnacle, I am driven to give more than I ever have to those who I believe have the potential to change the mire that we are in. Have no fear. I am no Judas.
Whether or not you speak the truth, it is up to Father Rosewood to decide. It is clear you wish to support the church, but how do you plan on doing so?
In any way that I can.
We are very fortunate. Allow me to introduce you to our leader. Follow me. Father Rosewood, we have one who wishes to join our congregation.
Oh? Who might you be?
My Christian name is Greco Rain.
Greco is hardly a Christian name. Ms. Rain, would you be so kind as to explain to me why you wear gloves?
Gloves?
Yes, it meets my eyes that you wear white satin gloves, despite the fact that it is midsummer.
An old habit, I'm afraid. You see, my parents are of the old British kingdom. They came here when the old Isles fell. I was raised under the same tradition of all my father's fathers, and they always wore such gloves, as we were a family of crystal traders, until such fine things became obsolete.
Curious. Most curious. And what do you offer us, Ms. Rain?
As you no doubt gather from my appearance, I happen to have a healthy sum at my disposal. I offer you as much as you would take.
How generous of you. Tell me, do you have any experience with firearms, Ms. Rain?
I'm afraid not. I've always been an advocate of peace. I have never touched a gun in my life. However, I see now that in this case, a little bit of violence is necessary to do justice. You and Mr. Westcott have shown me this.
Leon Westcott is no longer with us, Sister Rain. As you never met him, you would have no way of knowing, but it is better this way.
Enough, Joseph. Ms. Rain, would you please wait outside while I confer with Brother Joseph?
Of course.
Oh, how clumsy of me. Joseph, would you pick that lamp up for me?
I'll be outside whenever you will be ready to see me.
Father Rosewood, Sister Rain has my full confidence. I believe we should start involving her immediately. She'd be very useful planning the upcoming assault on Carmichael's so-called church. She seems like an intelligent woman.
Perhaps too intelligent. I would not be so fast in addressing Ms. Rain as Sister Joseph. Were you watching her hands when the lamp fell?
Well, no, I...
Oh, Joseph, though you are a good man, you have eyes, but you see not. You have ears, but you hear not. Her right hand jumped to her left lapel. She has worn a gun many times, and she has fast reflexes, trained reflexes. I sense a darkness about that woman.
Would you like me to bring her in for further questioning, Father? I can have some of our people ask some questions about her.
You may if you can find her, Joseph, though I hardly think she is outside that door.
She's gone!
It is as I feared. Though there is nothing we can do, may the Lord watch over what she seeks.
Not too shabby, but I hope, Yuppie, that you would not be thick enough to take us back to your place. I'm sure it's still being watched.
No, this is Dreely's building, and this is his apartment.
Tell me, how do you plan on getting us inside without shouting into the world?
I have the passcode.
Dreely gave you his passcode?
No, but I didn't trust him that much. All the executives spied on each other.
I've always had the pleasure of looking my enemy in the eye.
Quick, let's get inside before someone sees us. Dreely will be getting home from work soon. You take the bathroom, I'll hide in the closet.
Okay, I'm guessing that you want to take him alive. At first, anyways.
You guessed right. Hurry up, I think he's coming. He's early.
Where did I put that file? Hello? One moment, please. Mr. Malmsteen, let me put you on speakerphone. I'm looking for something.
No problem. Sorry to call you on your mobile. You didn't pick up at your office.
Sorry about that. I had to leave the office early today.
Taking a break, Mr. Dreely?
Yeah, wanted a bit of relaxation.
Ah, good. Then I'm sure you'll understand my call. I won't be making it to our meeting tomorrow. Please inform your associates.
I'll be happy to. I plan on seeing Miss Decker at the least very soon.
Thank you. I'll call next week to reschedule.
Enjoy your vacation, Mr. Mountstein.
Hello, Dreely.
Listen, Westcott, I know we have our differences.
Differences? Dreely, you set me up to take a fall. I would have been in prison for 30 years.
Listen, that's inconsequential.
Just shoot him already.
Hang on. Look, I know I set you up, but Decker was the one that paid me. She wanted you to take the fall.
Okay, we shoot him first, then the other one.
Would you hang on for 5 seconds?
I'm counting.
Today I found out that she's crossing the company and selling us out to Bayer Hopkins.
I'm not in the company.
That could change. I'll support you and say that Decker set you up. Gudden will have to let you back.
Time's up.
Hang on a second. Dreely just became useful.
Just became?
Don't push it. Do you have any proof?
Not only do I have a recording of her on the phone with a certain Mr. Forsythe, I also have a file of her exchanging information with computers at the Bayer Hopkins building in Washington.
Where are the files?
Right there on the desk. I was getting them ready until you decided to have this little chat.
He's been useful. Can we shoot him now?
No.
Who is this guy?
You introduced me to him when you sent me to prison.
See, you should be thanking me, Westcott. I still have contacts in the brigade. Let's move while they're still alive. They can't hold out against Decker forever. And then?
And then what?
It's nothing.
He's not being useful. I say we shoot him.
Well, let's say hypothetically there's an assassin with your picture, and she likes your eyes in a creepy kind of way.
Assassin?
Hale.
Roman Hale? Oh, that's not good.
You sent an assassin after me?
Well...
You said this guy was your friend, right?
Yeah, we go way back. He'd be mad if you shot me. Or something.
I have made an executive decision.
What?
I don't trust him.
No, wait! Hell.
Brass, with Dreely dead and an assassin, we need a different way to get to Decker. Brass, you're about the same size as him.
Yes. Why?
Put one of those suits on.
It's so crazy. You owe me one.
Take this briefcase too. Shove the stuff in there.
Where are you going with this, Yappy?
Did you hear that phone call?
Yes.
How do you feel about the name Mountstein?
Do I have to pose as a Yappy?
Yes, they recognize me. After you've taken care of Decker, meet me at 228 Walton Drive.
Dirty work again for Brass.
Let's get out of here.
An open window is an open invitation. Ah, Mr. Dreely. It seems that at last you don't have a snappy comeback. Such a pity. But you know, your kind always wind up like this. Splayed on the floor, in a swelling pool of blood, eyes staring blankly up into the sky. Or, in your case, fluorescent light. How tasteless. Really destroys the moment, wouldn't you say? Well, Mr. Dreely, for what it's worth, you will have a sweet taste of revenge. For once I'm paid, I always see my job through. 228 Walton Drive, was it? Shall we? Ah, well, if you'd really prefer to stay, I suppose I must leave you. Farewell, Mr. Dreely.
The brigade has been called off, Miss Decker. Mr. Dreely is nowhere to be found. Mr. Mountstein has just arrived from the negotiations.
Good. See him to my office. Make sure that Dreely is high on the brigade's priority list.
Yes, Miss Decker. Miss Decker, this is Mr. Mountstein. Just a reminder, you have an appointment in Carmichael's Church at 4:30.
Thank you. You may leave. Mr. Mountstein, I trust that your trip was satisfactory.
The food was terrible, the seat was hard as a rock, and I don't remember requesting the security probe and having my gun held. Someone owes me dinner for that.
How unfortunate. Let's get to business. I'm afraid Mr. Dreely won't be joining us.
No, he won't be.
What do you mean?
There's only 2 chairs.
How observant. Now, we at Pinnacle require 2 tons of sulfur. Due to the bulk of our purchase, we expect a considerable discount. I believe the going rate is $8.43 per pound.
Unfortunately, there has been an increase. A mine in Africa has collapsed. The new rate is $9.17.
Really? I must have missed the news this morning.
You must be very busy. How much of a discount were you expecting?
We were expecting something along the lines of $5.40 per pound.
We are willing to give you a discount of 3 cents per pound.
What? You're a harsh negotiator, Mr. Mountstein. But we will accept your terms.
Of course you do. I'd like that in cash. Small bills, please.
Cash? Would you excuse me? That will take some time to gather.
I'm good at this. Maybe not. So that was quick.
Mr. Mountstein canceled his appointment. Who might you be?
The one who has explosives in his briefcase, which your men didn't bother to check.
Explosives? I'm not so sure about that. An explosion would kill you as well.
Are you willing to risk it? What do you think I have in here? Plastic silverware? This is how it will go. Give me one of your men's radios. I will leave the building, and if I don't see anyone telling me, I'll radio you the code for disarming the bomb.
Give him a radio. Now!
Thanks so much. It was a pleasure doing business with you.
Okay, you can open it now.
What about the code?
There isn't one.
There is no bomb, only plastic silverware. Get him back here now!
...228 Walton Drive. Here we are. Yuppie? Yuppie? Oh, Yuppie! Crap. It looks like there's been a struggle here. Either that or... Hello? Yuppie's gun. Guess hell caught up with you, Yuppie. I think it's time to get out of this suit and save you. Again.
Trigger Ethics is written by Brian Kirkland, Christy Carlson, Allie Hefner, and Paul Jouett. Produced by Joshua Cyril White, directed by Anna Heller-Seebach, with technical direction by Chris Preparato and Drew Perrone-Bruce, and music by Brandon Lichtinger and Michael Lloyd. This episode featured the vocal talents of Isaac Salapa as Leon, James Hollerman as Rosewood, Christine La Rochelle as Decker, Camilo Matos as Dreely, Paul Jouett as Brass, Tom Oak as Joseph, Kat Murphy as Hale, and Drew Perrone-Bruce as Pratchett, as well as the voices of Pete Brzozowski, Alyssa Gumkowski, Andrew Tarnowski, Christine Zeal, Ed Jenkins, Chris Preparato, Miguel Montgomery. Next time on Trigger Ethics.
Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for the greatest religious experience of your lives. The one, the only, Archpriest Johnny the Absolver Carmichael!
My disciples, it is time now, with your renewed zeal to fight the abhorrent plague on this society's heart, the Underground Church!
The Underground Church has made a move against our sponsored church. I'm ready to initiate the final stages of our plan.
Bar the doors, board the windows, yet leave room for your rifles. Leave only one way out. We shall be a mighty fortress.
They're here!
For more information on Trigger Ethics, you can visit the show's website at triggerethics.allegheny.edu. Trigger Ethics is a production of Allegheny College in Meadville, Pennsylvania. Copyright 2008.